There's a whole lot of people
change my residence.
That's
the
first time you played.
Well, you done good.
Well, hey, man.
Fell
right in there.
You always play by ear anyways, don't you?
As long as I can hear it.
See.
If you're
going to
play this one, then
see.
I think I'll
sing
too high for it.
Hallelujah.
As I travel through this field of rock, and there is a brand new ball.
Stop. God. Amen. Hey, woman, too.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. All right. Spiritual songs, the Bible says, making melody in your heart. I like spiritual songs. Amen.
Amen.
I can't sing a lick. Dick said over at Bethel, he said, we sing by the letter. Rare back, let her go. That's the only singing I know. Amen. Good or bad, rare back, let her go. Hallelujah. Well, I got a lot of people sick. And it's epidemic, I reckon. Going around, everybody and their brother's got it. If you ain't got it, it's probably on the way. Or you've had it already. But it just sort of seems like it just ain't no getting away from it. It's coming. On a kind of a, I don't know, heads up note, Lee Watts, he's kind of a watcher over the government, not big government, but just of Kentucky. But he's involved pretty heavy in kind of keeping an eye on what the government's doing. And he gave some heads up on some things on the Ken King's radio yesterday afternoon. They've got a bill they're trying to pass in Kentucky to expand gambling in Kentucky. And he said, be sure you call this number and say no.
Yeah.
And you might take a minute, write this number down. It's the number to Frankfurt. But it's 1-800-372-7181. He said it really makes a difference when you call. They know at least you're paying attention. It makes them walk the line. But I just tell them you're not for expanded gambling in Kentucky.
Right.
And I don't have no problem at all saying I'm against that.
That's right.
But also, he said they got a bill they're trying to pass to do away with our national motto, In God We Trust. And the bill is called House Bill 46. By the way, it has passed, but it's in limbo. Nobody's doing nothing with it. And at a state level, call your senator in Frankfurt, 1-800-372-7181. And I'm not really sure when it says it's passed. I don't know if it's good or bad, but anyway, find out and call and tell them your feelings about that. I think in God we trust, and without God we rust. But the Bible says plainly in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17. Told y'all my brain ain't working just right. I don't know, I need a bump on the head or something. But it says, all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. And I don't want that. I don't want the national motto, In God We Trust.
Right.
There's another one on Campus Free Speech Act. It's House Bill number 254. Tell them you want it passed so you can at least pass out a tract and not be a federal offense. And by the way, they're not voting on it right now. And he said to kind of hold their feet to the fire and tell them, you know, to pass that bill. And there's another one on carrying rights, like for a gun, your Second Amendment rights, constitutional rights. They're trying to ignore it too and not vote on it. But anyway, that number, if you got anything to write with, 1-800-372-7181. And if you want that number or any of this information about any of this, you're more welcome to this. I'll share it with you and give it to you, whatever. So I just going to give you a heads up on some of the kind of stuff that we need to be involved in. I'm not smart enough to be a politician. I'm glad I ain't. But if I was one, I'd try to be an honest one. I don't know if they'd just give up on trying to be an honest one or not. But the Bible tells us when the righteous ran forward and the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. It tells us righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin's a reproach to any people. So you can kind of see how it's important to have good leadership, good godly leadership. Okay, this message today, Job chapter number 25. If you want to get your Bible out there, Job chapter number 25, We'll read all six verses. It's only got six verses in the whole chapter there. But my text is verse number 6. And it's kind of a... It's not a shouting message. Truly, to be honest with you, it's kind of a depressing message. But we need it. In this day and hour, I promise you, we need this message. I need it myself. I have to constantly bring Eddie into check. Constantly crucify him and everything else. But we'll start reading Joel chapter 25. Start reading verse number 1. And we'll read all the way down to verse number 6. Then answered Bildad the Shuhamite and said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies? And upon whom doth not his light arise? How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that's born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight." This is our text verse here. Verse 6. "How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm." And we'll stop right there on that verse. And we'll pray, and then I'll announce my text. Amen. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for the number that's here this morning, Lord, much greater, Lord, than we even expected, Father, the day and hour we're living in. Lord, we certainly understand people are sick, can't come. Lord, we look more than anything, Father, to see this building filled. But Lord, we want your hand upon it. We know your word says, "Except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain." Right. And we want the Lord to follow the instruction of Psalms 127, verse 1. We want you to help us to grow. We want you to add to us daily such as should be saved. We want to do everything, Lord, in accordance to your word and your will. Pray your blessings even today upon this service. Lord, I pray, God, you preach to me and through me. I promise to give you all the praise and glory. May we all be doers, not hearers only. And may we all give you praise for whatever is said, and Lord, for whatever we hear. And we thank you for whatever, Lord, is done today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
I'm preaching kind of a lesson on humility. I could have actually titled this message, "Lessons on Humility." I don't expect to preach another message to go along with this one, but it could happen because there's so much territory to the subject. But I'm preaching out of Joel chapter 25, using verse number 6 for our text. And the message title is "Just a Worm." That don't really do a whole lot for you, don't really do a whole lot for me. But when you get done with this message today, you'll understand that's pretty much it. I mean, we're just a worm.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot to say today. I hope you pay attention. I'll go as quick as I can. The Bible tells us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Romans 12, verse number 3. I preached for 2 Sundays on what kind of Christian are you. And one of them, I think I didn't read on down to verse number 3, but we mainly focused on Romans chapter 12, verse 1 through 2. But let me just say this. One way to keep from being high-minded is that's why I read my Bible.
Right.
You can't spend much time in the Bible and it not take all of a veneer of pride off of you.
Right. That's right.
I remember the first year I got saved 31 years ago, April 27, 1988. I purposed in my heart, I made my mind up, somehow or another, I was going to finish the Bible before the end of that year, and I did.
Yeah.
But I must admit, I spent more time on my knees to tell the Lord, "I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry." All I knew was sorry. I just didn't know how sorry I was. But I mean, I found out looking at myself in God's mirror, I seen another Eddie Wade that somehow or another I had never seen looking in my mirror. But looking in God's mirror, I saw all the flaws, and I saw all of the problems that I had that God's been helping me with, and I'm a whole lot better. I'm kind of like Paul. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I am still a wretched man. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who should deliver me in this body of death? He said, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus the Lord. I mean, zero plus Jesus is all you need. Amen.
Amen.
And you can be a zero and still have everything in Christ. But that's why I read my Bible. It helps me stay humble. It strips all the veneers of pride away. The Bible says in Romans chapter 11, verse 20, to be not high-minded. Now, this about a couple weeks ago, I passed out a rose to my granddaughter, and I commended her. She's a very meek, very humble little girl. I've never heard her raise her voice. She very seldom even talks. She's just very, very quiet, very meek, just doesn't give any trouble at all. But I went in there, she was in the bathroom. I went there and I said, her name's Madison, we call her Maddie. I said, Maddie, stay like you are, honey, don't change. And the world has a tendency to change us. Mm-hmm. It's like you get put in a certain mold. You gotta speak like them, you gotta look like them, you gotta walk like them, you gotta do the things they do. Even if you don't like it, to fit in, it's what you gotta do. And I hope that don't have that effect on her. She's such a tender plant. Just fun to be around. She'll never offend nobody. She just takes it and don't ever say nothing back. You know what I mean? She's just very meek and lowly at heart. And that's a good attribute for anyone to have. But I passed out a rose. I said, honey, I just commend you for you got such a sweet spirit. I said, try to stay that way. Don't let this world ruin you. And they will if you're not careful.
Yes, it will.
But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2, a lot of things Paul mentioned there to Timothy, but he mentioned there in that verse number 2, lovers of their own selves. Now, I'm preaching on just a worm. Can you imagine a worm taking a selfie? I mean, you just one good-looking worm, buddy. Well, I've handled a lot of worms. I've fished all my life. I ain't never seen a good-looking worm. I've seen some that maybe look better than others, but they all look kind of ugly to me. But anyway, if we're not careful, you know, a lot of people have lost their life taking a selfie.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes to me. I'm sitting there thinking, let it go. And a while back, I watched a video of a young girl. She was driving down the road. She wasn't taking a selfie. How is it when you fix your phone up where you're videoing yourself? She was kind of talking, kind of singing and driving a car. What's that called? Is that called streaming or something like that?
Video chat.
Okay, she's driving down the road. Beautiful young girl. I'm going to say, probably 16 or pretty close to that. Real pretty hair, real pretty face. And she's having a real pretty day. I mean, it's beautiful outside. She's got her window down. She's singing, she's smiling, she's looking in the mirror, she's looking in the camera, and as she's singing, smiling, driving, she goes to an intersection, and where her phone was sitting, you see this bus coming through this other road, and it hits this beautiful young girl, and the next picture shows she's hanging out a window, and she's dead.
Oh,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you can somehow keep from getting there, getting so full of yourself that you forget who you really are,
right?
You'll be a whole lot better off.
Exactly.
Now, this is a tough message, and I'll do my best to be gentle as I can, but I've had to deal with this myself. Every now and then, I find myself sticking my chest out by myself, looking it up by myself. I can't help it. I mean, that's just something men have to deal with. I guess you women, I don't know, maybe you do your nails, maybe put your makeup on, I don't know. I mean, I've never been a woman, so I don't know what all y'all do, but my pastor used to say, heck, even an old barn looks better with paint on it. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how that went over there, but he was pretty bold when he said it, and I'm going to guess he probably had cold chicken to eat for supper that night. I don't know. But you know what? We got to be careful with pride, and the Bible's pretty good about helping us with it. It just tells us just pretty clear. Just a worm. Now, when Paul wrote to Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said, these people, so full of themselves. He said they're lovers of their own selves. He said they're unthankful. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I can say amen. I crossed the bridge this morning, as cold as it is, as high as the lake was, as windy as it is, there was still a fool out there like this fool used to be. Out there, you know, trying to drown a minnow. There was somebody out there fishing. Listen, I used to fish every Sunday. I can't throw a rock one. But, you know, if you could keep the mentality down somewhere close to normal, you know there's 6 days in the week to have all the fun you want. And let me say this, Sunday's not fun day. Sunday is the Lord's day.
Amen.
Now, John in Revelation chapter 1, he couldn't be in church because he'd been exiled on the Isle of Patmos for the testimony of Jesus and for the Word of God. But I'll tell you what he did say on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
That's right.
Now, it didn't stop him from worshiping God. And, you know, I'll tell you, if you're humble enough, you'll worship God about something every day. You'll say, Lord, thank you for my appetite. Thank you for my health. Thank you that I woke up. Thank you that I was able to enjoy another day. But these are attributes of the opposite of being humble, being high-minded, are not only unthankful, unholy, and lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, but they're also resistors of the truth. Corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith. Verses 2 through 8 says, Christopher Reeves, if you don't know who that was, that's the guy that played Superman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a model, got fine looking hair, he ain't bald headed like me, and he's a pretty good looking specimen of a man. And here he is, he plays Superman one day, then the next day he's in a wheelchair. And he got a little straw there, and he blows on that straw, and his wheelchair goes forward, and he sucks on it, and the wheelchair goes backwards. Can you imagine going from Superman to being in a wheelchair? He didn't live but 10 years of that, but the whole time, a lot of people knew him. They said it wasn't good to be around him. He was bitter. I can't use the terminology, but he was quite a butt. You know what? While he was Superman, it was difficult to be around. But it was difficult to be around in the wheelchair also. He just never did ever humble himself. He never did ever do anything. I was telling Ed before y'all got here this morning, I said, we're all getting murdered like Adam and Eve. We just say that woman. The woman says that serpent. We're all trying to find something to blame somebody on. Rather than taking accountability, rather than saying, I did it, I'm sorry, we just say, everybody does it. We try to find some way to shift the blame. I don't know if you notice how they blame everything on Trump.
Right.
No matter what, Trump did it.
Right.
Well, that's kind of the way we are, Rita. We just try to find somebody to put the blame on. We feel better about it when we put the blame on somebody.
That's right.
And you know, Cain, he said, am I my brother's keeper? And he was, because he's his brother's killer. He killed his brother. But we just try to resist the truth. We're in denial on what we are. And you know, sometimes, I believe in Christopher Reeve's case, I believe God humbled him. I might be wrong. I know one thing, they said he wanted to die. He didn't want to spend his life in a wheelchair. But that's the way it goes sometimes. You got to be careful about being high-minded. He's riding a horse. They had a picture. He fell off his horse as he jumped this gate, and he hit the ground on his head, and his head went this way and broke his neck. He's paralyzed my neck down from that day on. Makes me think, if he'd just been a little bit less high-minded.
Yeah.
And Abraham proclaimed that he was just dust and ashes. Genesis chapter 18, verse 27. That's a good attitude to have. He didn't claim to be nothing. He said, I'm just dust and ashes.
Yeah.
I took it upon myself to talk to God. And he was interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. Job proclaimed that he had become like dust and ashes in Job chapter 30, verse 19. Anything wrong with that? I'll tell you this, the lower you can stay, the less it hurts when you fall.
That's right.
And when you fall from way up there, it's going to leave a mark. Y'all see Bernie Sanders, that big come across his forehead, eyes turning black, and he slipped in the shower. You know, I look at things probably different than y'all do. I look at it and I'm sitting there thinking, God's probably trying to get his attention.
Yeah.
How many of y'all know, I believe it's Stephen Hawking? You might know who it is? Okay, that's a renowned scientist.
Right.
And he spent about 28 years of his life, you know, pretty much okay. And from 28 years on, he spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. And he died at the age, I think, of 76. But he would never repent. He would never admit that there was a God.
No.
And yet it looked to me like God was determined to convince him that he, you know, I think some people think they're too big for God. And yeah. Someone said it's too big for God to mess with. And, you know, I kind of had that same mind before I got saved, you know, blaming God and threatening God. Yeah, going fishing, taking God's name in vain and everything. But he spent the majority of his life, 76 years, from 28 years on, he was in a wheelchair. He got married at the age of 24, had three children. Him and his wife ended up separating. I don't know if they got back together or not. But you can kind of look and kind of see, and I'll go on a little further than that here in a minute, but you can kind of see where it's not good to be too high-minded.
Right.
Well, I think about Pharaoh that said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice?" Now, Pharaoh sitting upon the throne of Egypt, he's second to none. And Moses come in there, and God said about Moses, he was one of the most meek men upon the face of the earth. And Moses come in there, and he says, God says to let his people go. And Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord?" In other words, he said, let me put it in terms, well, maybe you can get it. Why should I listen to God? Or why should I do anything that concerns God? I'm already God. I'm already in a position of power.
Yeah.
In other words, he was going to have to share his position with God to do anything. By the way, the last words that Pharaoh spoke to Moses was, "Pray for me."
Yeah.
That was before he drowned it in the Red Sea.
That's right.
But you can see how his position, a position of power, got him to thinking that he was really something.
Mm-hmm.
That he didn't have to listen to the Word of God. That he didn't have to let God have any place in his kingdom or in his power.
Right.
And we're just like Pharaoh. Who is God that I should listen? Or who is God that I should let him have a place in my life? I hope you're listening this morning.
Yeah.
The Bible says humble yourself. In other words, you need to do it.
Man.
This Bible will help you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. And James had the 4 verse 10. It'll help you to humble yourself.
Right.
Because if you don't humble yourself, God can humble you.
Right.
And He can make you realize that you're nothing but a worm. King Uzziah was one of God's great kings. And he won a lot of wars, a lot of victories. But he got one day a little, Bible said, till he was strong. And maybe I ought to read that instead of trying to quote it. Because maybe there's something in there that we need to hear a little more clear.
Yeah.
But in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26, we'll start in verse 16. This is talking about King Uzziah. Now listen, he was a mighty king. Verse 15 talks about he made engines and invented things, you know, to defeat enemy. He built towers on the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. And his name's spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. That's verse 15. Look here at verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse number 17. And Azariah the priest went in after him. See, they were the only ones allowed to go in there. But he thought, hey, look at all I've done. If any anybody deserves to go in there, I do.
Yeah.
The priests went in there after him, and with him, 80, that's 80 priests of the Lord, that were violent men, and they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not to thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. You know, Uzziah, he ain't listening to this.
No.
He don't want to hear nobody tell him that he's less than what he thinks he is. Look at verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. That means he's mad.
Yes.
And had a censer in his hand to burn incense. Now look, in his eyes, he's doing right. Listen, there's a right way to do right.
Yeah.
I didn't have this in my notes, but David done a right thing the wrong way. He's bringing the ark into Jerusalem and they're all singing and dancing. Yeah. But God had said the ark was to be carried by the sons of Levi, Aaron's son, and none other. And they put it on a cart with a calf, and God killed Uzziah. I don't want to get that too far in here. I want to stay with this. But Uzziah, he's mad, and he has a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, in other words, he's got authority over them. While he's mad with them, tell them, you can't tell me what to do. The leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Uzziah the priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out thence. Yea, he himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. Let me tell you something. God is over all.
Amen.
He's gracious, he's good, kind, gentle. Yeah. The goodness of God leads everybody to repentance. And if it don't, you're going to know you missed out on the goodness of God. But God has smitten him. He brought it on himself. Now he knows, even though he's king, he's not above God. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house judging the people of that land. I just want you to know that's a lesson on taking too much on you and not having enough sense to do what God says to do in a serpent authority. Not only did King Uzziah find out the hard way that the Most High rules in the affairs of men, but also King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4, and I'm not going to read it for sake of time, but in Daniel chapter 4, verse 29 through 39, he found out also that God was over him.
Yeah.
Even though King Nebuchadnezzar was a great king, done great things, God warned him and told him to stay humble, and he exalted himself one time too many, and next thing he knew, he's out there eating grass like a cow.
Right.
He learned, buddy, God, his own words were, those that walk in pride, God is able to abase. The Bible mentions in Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 17, that there are six things that God hates. Matter of fact, it said seven are abomination to him.
Yeah.
But the very first one on that list is a proud look.
That's right.
You know, we got these gay pride marches. That's kind of scary right off the bat. That they would say this is gay pride week. I mean, I want you to know right now, that's just accident looking for a place to happen. The Titanic was the largest moving object of 1912. It was so gigantic, it was called the unsinkable ship.
Yeah.
And some fool went out there and said these words, God himself couldn't sink the Titanic.
Yeah.
It sunk on its maiden voyage. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It lost in pride. It sunk in that same state of mind. It's sad that over 1,500 people lost their lives because one fool said God himself could not sink this unsinkable ship. I mean, it was something to see. It was the largest movable object of that day. I had all the specs on it, but I didn't want to bore you with it. The Beatles, they were pretty popular. John Lennon said they were more popular than Jesus. Next thing he knew, he's a dead man.
Yeah.
I just want you to know, you better be careful.
That's right.
When it comes to pride.
Boy, that's right. Right.
Hey, boy. Very unchosen words. He should have kept that to himself. Bible said in Psalms 14 verse 1, also in Psalms 53 verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And a black boy was doing a rich man's shoes one day up in the city of Chicago, and he's buffing on them shoes, Miranda. That rich man said, there ain't no God. There ain't no God. There ain't no God. That little black boy looked up, he said, mister, he said, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You done went and blabbed it out of your mouth. And then he went back to working on that guy's shoes. But how like that people are. They try to deny their need of God. They try to deny the existence of God. They try to say, I don't need God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Just a worm. Yeah. That'll help you if you let it.
Yeah.
It will. It'll help you.
Right.
It'll put you right where you need to be.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. An old Indian chief got saved a long, long time ago. He went to a tent meeting and he got saved. And he come home to his people and he's the chief. He's trying to tell them. They don't have words in their language. He's trying to say, how can I tell them the gospel message? And he's sitting there thinking, how can I convey this good news to them? And he finally come to him, Joanne, and he went out and he got a worm. They had a fire, and he drew a circle in that fire, and he put that in the ashes of that fire, he put that worm right there in that circle. He said, me worm! He got me out of fire! And they understood the gospel message. I was just a worm in the fire.
That's right.
When he reached down, he had to reach way down for me.
Yeah, boy.
But he got me out of the fire.
Woo!
Amen. I don't mind being a worm. Why does this worm get out of the fire? Amen. Yeah. It's when the worm gets left in the fire, it ain't good for the worm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ came down here to get worms out of the fire. Oh, listen. Pride goeth before destruction.
Yeah.
And a haughty spirit before a fall. Let me tell you, Twin Tires, they fell in 2001, September the 11th, and right at 3,000 people perished, 2,994, I think. And that's probably maybe more, that's how many we're counting for. Those Twin Tires was kind of like an object of pride. You may not know much about them, but they bragged about how no one could bring them down in an airplane.
Yeah.
With some people that very misguided, very misinformed, that had no regard for their lives, killed everybody on the planes, and everybody in Twin Tires, took two airplanes and shoved them in them tires, and they failed. That's kind of sad, but it's done. And then you got a aftermath of that, you look, and all of a sudden now everybody's, they said during that time, Brother Jerry, that there was traffic jams, people trying to get to church. They thought it was the end time.
Yeah.
But you know what? They realized then their need of God. They realized then maybe they were wrong. You know, they was just enjoying life. Let me say this. Life without God ain't much of a life. But life with God, he said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
I've had abundant life for 31 years. I wouldn't trade this life for 34 years of the life I had before I got saved, 100 million times over.
Right.
One day with the Lord, I tell you what, it's better than 10 lifetimes. Amen. Oh, listen, in Twin Tires failed, it got this country's attention for just a second. Amen. Oh, my. Jesus, when he preached about hell in Mark chapter 9, verse 43 through 48, he mentioned three times, "Their worm dieth not." That's kind of strange that he put it in that text. He said, "Their worm dieth not." He's warning worms about fire. Then you look a little further over in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 24. It talks about worms down there in the fire. And it says, "Their worm dieth not." It talks about people coming out, looking down there, and they see them down there tormented in that fire. I'm going to guess, well, I was put to you like this. If my mother and my dad is down there in that fire, I'll have to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. God reached out a hand. He said, "Let me help you. Let me save you. Let me keep you out of the fire." And if someone ends up down there, they turn that hand down. Mm-hmm. I'll just tell you right now, but it's hard to miss hell.
Right.
I'm sorry. Hard to miss heaven. It's hard to miss heaven because Jesus stands between you and hell.
Yeah.
You got to figure out some way around him to get there. Mm-hmm. There's some determined to do that. But I'll just tell you right now, if my mother and my father's down there, I'll have to say, "Mom, Dad, I love you. But there ain't a thing I can do about your predicament."
No.
Jesus said, "The worm dieth not." Mm-hmm. Oh, Job 14:14 says, "All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Now, the reason I read that verse is because I ain't always going to be a worm.
That's right.
I appreciate Rita bringing this in. Because one day, this worm's going to be a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get my wings. It's one thing to be crawling around a worm. It's another thing to...
flappy wings.
We cut off and then we what? Fly away. You know what it says there? Psalm 91. Yeah, I'll fly away. It says man's days upon the earth are 70 by reason of four strength to be 80. But then we're cut off and what? We fly away. I'm going to be a butterfly one day. I'm going to be a worm right now. But glory, I'll put my wings on one day. I'll take my fire one day. And thanks to Jesus, glory to God, I'll miss the fire.
Amen.
Oh, that couldn't have come at no better time. That's a pretty good burn good. Give me a cell. That's a pretty good burn good looking butterfly. Hey, man, I'd a whole lot rather be that than a worm.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm low on the scale. He's going to exalt me in due time. I won't be a worm forever. Paul said, "We shall be changed." 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. He said, verse 53, "This corruption is going to put on incorruption."
Yes, amen.
He said, "This mortal is going to put on immortality."
That's right.
Job said, "Till the change come." Look, I ain't today what I'm going to be when he comes. When he comes, I'm going to be something different. The Bible said, when we see him, we'll see him as he is.
Yes.
And when we see him as he is, that's how we're going to be, glory to God.
That's right.
I want you to know he got up out of the grave. Hey, I want you to know he didn't just appear to one or two. He appeared to all 12 of those disciples and the 500 one time.
Yes.
And after that, he appeared unto Saul that became Paul that preached the word of God.
Yes.
I'm telling you, buddy, we'll be like him, glory to God. We might be buried one day, but I ain't going to stay buried. I'll tell you it right now. I don't want to argue nobody about the Bible. The Bible tells me to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord.
Amen, that's right.
He kind of rebuked Mary, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Don't go out to the tomb." Y'all may not feel about this like I do, but I don't even visit the graves of my family. They ain't there.
That's right.
And I go out there, I'm out there just looking at where they're being. They're not there. Paul said, "Time out of torture's at hand." time my funeral's at hand. He said, the time my departure's at hand.
Yeah.
He said, to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. He said, I've been found in a strait to depart, be with the Lord. Far better remain here as needful. I want you to know he had a desire to leave, but he served his time. He said, I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. He said, henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness whom the Lord will give me. Not me only, but all that love him. Look to his appearance. I'm not always going to be a worm.
That's right.
One day, I'm going to be a butterfly. My granddaughter was fascinated by butterflies. I am too. I see them change from a worm to a butterfly. They tell me, praise God, my change is coming.
Yeah, right.
I'll be transformed.
Yeah, we will.
Amen. They'll say, what happened to Eddie? He said, I don't know. All I know is he flew away. Where did he fly? He flew home. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't know how this message come to you, but it'll help you if you let it.
Yeah.
Don't be a Pharaoh. Don't be a Nebuchadnezzar. Don't be a King Uzziah. Don't be a Christopher Reeve. Don't be a Stephen Hawking. Be a worm. You'd be better off. One day, I'll be glad.
Yeah.
I was able to be a worm so that God could show me. Have you ever been around someone, you know, it's hard to be around? I mean, and everything but a worm. And you can't get a word in edgewise, and you don't really want to be there. You want to be somewhere else, and you're stuck there with them. I work with some of these kind of people. And it's so full of themselves. They're kind of hard to be around. And I'm sitting there thinking, praise God, one day I'll be in different company.
Amen.
Man, we get up there in heaven and behold all the things that God has for those that love Him, look to His appearance. And we get to hear that kind of singing up there. And we get to hear the testimonies of people that seen and done more than we ever thought about seeing and doing. Great patriarchs of the faith. I'll tell you what, that'd be a blessing right there just to hear and see some of the things that they'll tell up there. Right now, I'm happy just to be a worm.
Yeah.
Our Father, we thank You for this message. Lord, I hope and pray this congregation took this message seriously.
Yes.
Lord, I know the hazards, Lord, of being high-minded. I've got enough hide missing off me already, Lord, for learning everything the hard way. Help us stay humble. Help us stay meek and lowly. Help us, I pray, to be a blessing, not a burden, to the heart of God. I know, Lord, You is grieved with that generation in Genesis chapter 6, because the thoughts of their heart was on the evil continually. Lord, I pray You'll help us. Lord, I pray not to be like that. Help us to stay humble. Help us stay in Your Word. Help us, Lord, I pray, Lord, that You might be able, Lord, to visit with us and spend time with us. I know You want to. I pray we'll be of that kind of an attitude, Lord, to be a meek and lowly spirit, one, Lord, that You could come and fellowship with, spend time with. And Lord, I don't know how this message went to these before me. I know how it went to me. It helped me. And I pray, Father, Lord, if anything needs to be done, it'll be done right here in this invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'd like to ask everybody to stand. If Sister Sharon, Brother Jerry, get us maybe a verse of him, something about him. And if there is anything you need to do, maybe that message, maybe it insulted you. Maybe it rubbed you the wrong way. I'll just tell you this. I told you the truth. Paul told the church of Galatia. He said, if I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, hey, what I told you is what I have to do with me. Just a worm.